Welcome to an enlightening podcast from IslamPodcasts.com. We encourage our listeners to please comment and let us know how we can grow in our knowledge to better serve our community. Please remind your family and friends to also visit IslamPodcasts.com for engaging discussions on current events, Islamic guidance, Quran, tafsir, seerah, and much more. Thank you for listening to this podcast. Podcasts on current events, Islamic guidance, Quran tafsir, and seerah are available at islampodcasts.com as well as on iTunes. Rate, review, and comment and let us know how we can grow in our knowledge to better serve our community. Please subscribe, share, and tell a friend about islampodcasts.com as well as rate, review of iTunes.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته brothers. Come on, you are louder for Shiraz. Assalamu alaikum brothers. Basically, we've got about 25 minutes or 30 minutes inshallah before iftar, which I know is on your mind. And brother Safia is going to give a talk on basically what this video has been explaining or showing to you, that amongst us Muslims we're disunited in so many ways, and that although we're united in some things, like Ramadan is an example of that, the fact that we're all fasting, the fact that we're all kinder to each other, the fact that we're all aware that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching us more in this month than other months, inshallah what we're going to focus on is more to do with actual unity, you know, political unity and unity amongst Muslims, not just in the Muslim world, but even in our areas, to be honest. You know, the fact that we have something, and it would be wrong for me not to mention it, the fact that within small areas like this, we have divisions, we have issues where we can arrange an iftar such as this, and at the same time, you know, someone else could do an iftar 24 hours just before, you know, at the same time. This is sad. It's not something that we take, you know, it's just sad, basically, that such things happen. But we're gonna pass it on to Saf, inshallah, because we're short of time. Over to Saf.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, alhamdulillah, rabbil alameen. Afdalu salatu wa atammu taslim ala ashraf al-anbiya'i sayyidil mursaleen, nabiyyina, habibina, shafi'ina, qurrati a'yunina, Muhammadin, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wa ala alihi wa sahabatihi wa man tabi'ahu bi ihsan ila yawm al-din. Amma ba'd. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam.
You want to shuffle forward just a bit? Yeah, you have to go right behind each other. And I want your full attention. The reason being is because we're going to discuss some hadith and some ayat, some verses of the Quran, and some noble hadith. And we should have adab when it comes to hadith being narrated. Imam Qadi Iyad, he was a massive scholar. Yeah? He lived in southern Spain, Al-Andalus, what we call southern Spain today, yeah? A place called Granada. And he was a Maliki scholar. You know, we've got four great imams. Imam Abu Hanifa, Imam Malik, Imam Shafi'i, Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal, radiallahu anhu. And he narrates in a book he wrote called The Shifa, في تعريف الحقوق المصطفى, the sort of book related to our Prophet, the characteristics of our Prophet, his attributes, what kind of Prophet he was. And in there, he quotes his Imam. And he says, from Abu Mus'ab, عن Anas bin Malik, and Malik bin Anas, from Imam Malik, رضي الله عنه, that Imam Malik, كان لا يتحدث بحديث رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم, إلا وهو على وضوح إجلالا له. Imam Malik, when he used to talk about hadith, of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he never used to talk about it except that he used to do wudu out of respect. So when he used to discuss hadith, he used to do wudu to purify himself out of ta'zim, out of adab. We should follow this. So we're going to discuss some verses and some hadith. So let's try and give our full attention. As Mawlana said, I'm going to be discussing some of the stuff that you watched in the video regarding Salahuddin and Ayyubi, but I don't want to dwell on that too much. I want to go on to some other important points because I know time is ticking away, and that I want to quickly cover. But we know that this month is the month of Rahmah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed this month, and this is, brother, we should know in short, this is a month which is a way to get to Jannah, to get to paradise. How is it? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Ya ayyuha al-ladhina amanu kutiba alaykum as-siyam kama kutiba ala al-ladhina min qablikum la'allakum tattaqun. That this month, even fasting has been made obligatory for you, just like it's been made obligatory fard on those before you, so you can get taqwa. So you can get taqwa. And the only way we're going to get to Jannah is we have to have taqwa. We have to be, Allah has to be on our mind all the time. And there are some hadiths. There are some hadiths of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Sahih, where one of them, Mu'adh bin Jabal radiallahu anhu, he was a Sahabi, Mu'adh. He asked the Prophet, he says, أخبرني بعمل يدخلني الجنة. يا رسول الله, tell me something or show me something that will make me enter Jannah. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied, سألتني عن عظيم. You asked me a very big question. You've asked me about something serious, something azim. And the Prophet says, all right, if you don't do shirk, like you don't associate with Allah, la tushrik billahi shay'an, don't do shirk with Allah, wa tuqimu salat, and you establish your prayer, then he says, wa tu'ti zakat, and you pay your zakat, and then he says, wa tasumu Ramadan, and you fast in Ramadan, this is what will get you into Jannah. So fasting is a way to get us into Jannah, so we've got to keep that in mind, that this is a serious month. We shouldn't mess around this month. Another hadith that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, that people who fast, they're going to get a special place, a special door they're going to go through in Jannah. And that door is called Ar-Rayyan. So the hadith says, إِنَّ فِي الْجَنَّةِ بَابِ يُقَالَ الرَّيَّانِ. In Jannah, in paradise, there is a door called Ar-Rayyan. يَدْخُلَ مِنْهُ الصَّائِمُونَ. Those who fast will only enter it. Those who fast will only enter it. لَا يَدْخُلَ مِنْهُ أَحَدٌ غَيْرُهُمْ. No one else will enter it. This is specially for them. And then it will be said in Jannah, أَيْنَ الصَّائِمُونَ. Where are the people who fast? فَيُقُومُنَ لَا يَدْخُلَ مِنْهُ أَحَدٌ غَيْرُهُمْ. فَإِذَا دَخَلُوا أُخْلِكَ فَلَهُمْ يَدْخُلُ مِنْهُ أَحَدٌ. Those who enter it, the door closed behind them, and that is specially for them. There is something special about this month. It's not just about starving yourself for over 12 hours. It's not just about that. It's about building our qurb, our closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yes, fasting, you know, means imsak. It means refraining from not just food, eating, refraining from all haram. Refraining from all haram. We've got to bear that in mind. Now, whilst there are tons of hadith that I want to read, but the time is ticking fast. I know that food is waiting there for us. Alhamdulillah, brothers have been working hard all through the day. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward them and reward you all for coming. May Allah accept this gathering. But there's a few things I wanted to point out. Okay, we know that this month is beautiful, it's blessed. It's got Laylatul Qadr, the night that is better than 1,000 nights. It's got multiple rewards in it. Whatever we do this month, it gets multiplied. Forget the times table, it gets multiplied. 70 times or more, those are hadith talk about. Alright, we know these things. We know that the miyasa tells us, we know our parents tell us, you know, be extra certain this month because you get more reward. But I want us to think a bit more widely about this month. Like when the teacher gives you homework, right, think about it. When Miss or Sir gives you some homework, they don't expect you just to go home and do a bit of the homework, and that's it. And then you give it in an essay or a little homework piece, and you don't get full marks. The teacher wants to give you homework, so you think deeply about the subject. You read around the subject. But Ramadan, we know it's all about not eating. We know it's about stuff in our mouths, yeah? When it's time to break the fast. Even eating until some people don't even break the mother. But, so, you know, it's not just about that. I want us to think about Ramadan in a wider context, more broadly. In this month, Ramadan, Shahr Ramadan, this holy month, the Muslims, if we read the Prophet's life, were victorious. This was a month of Nasr, of victory. In this month, as you just saw, and I come to about Salahuddin al-Ayyubi, in this month, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah gave him victory in a lot of battles, a lot of things they did. Now, over about 9 Ramadans, when the Prophet went from Mecca to Medina, you know, he stayed there for a number of years, as you may know, heard from other talks. Yeah? They fought a lot of battles, and Allah helped them in victory. And I'll go through one of them, which is very, very important. You lot may have heard of the Battle of Badr. It happened in the eighth Hijrah, which is the 8th year after the Prophet went from Mecca to Medina. He migrated, and the Meccan people turned him out. He was trying to teach Islam. He was trying to teach Tawheed. He was trying to teach worship Allah, follow what Allah said, and his people chucked him out. They said, "Get out. You're bringing us the truth, we don't want the truth." So the Prophet cried, he had to leave Mecca, he went to Medina, he had to migrate. So after 8 years passed, a big battle took place. And Allah mentions that in the Quran, and I want to just read some verses. So give your full attention. Remember about Badr. This was when the army was small, the Muslim army was small, about 313 people, about 70 horses, that was about it. And the Quraysh army were massive. What did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say? Surah Ali Imran. He says, subhanahu wa ta'ala, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Verse 1, 2, 3, in case anyone wanted to know. Allah says, وَلَقَدْ نَصَرَكُمُ اللَّهُ بِبَدْرٍ. And Allah gave you victory in Badr. It's mentioned in the Quran. Allah gave, in the month of Ramadan, victory to the Muslims. بِبَدْرٍ. وَأَنْتُمْ أَذِلَّةٌ. And you were just you were small in number. Imagine 313 people, 60 horses, or 70 horses, about 2 camels. And then before them, right in front of them, thousands of people standing in front of them. 313 people standing here. Allah said, remember when we gave you victory? How did Allah give victory in Islam? How? Allah says, إِذْ تَقُولَ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ أَلَنْ يَكْفِيَكُمْ أَنْ يُمْلِمِدْهُ رَبُّكُمْ بِثَلَاثَةِ آلَافٍ مِنْ مَلَائِكَ مُنْزَلِينَ. Allah gave, remember, he's saying to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, isn't it not enough from your Lord that he helped you with 3,000 angels? Allah then sent 3,000 angels down. Because Allah says, have taqwa. You know, have, be mindful of me. Allah sent angels down. And then he says, Bala. Of course, definitely. In tasbiru wa tattaqu, yatukum min fawrihim hadha yumdidukum rabbukum bi 5,000 min malaikati musawwimin. Yes. If you are patient and you have taqwa, then definitely Allah sent 5,000 angels down. So Allah saying in this verse, he helped the Sahabi, he helped the Prophet. 5,000 angels. This is the month. This is one of the months in which this took place. Ramadan, battle, victory. Allah gave granted victory. And many, 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 many times throughout Ramadan, the Muslims were victorious at every land. And 682 years later, after the Hijrah of the Prophet, Salahuddin al-Ayyubi, rahimahullah, as you watched in the video, what did he do? If not forgotten, what did he do? He liberated what? Palestine. Liberated Masjid al-Aqsa. Not only that, he didn't just go there to have a beef and have a fight, but careful planning. When you watch the video, Salahuddin al-Ayyubi, he was young, he got educated, he learned hadith, learned Quran. Then people saw his talent. He was enrolled in the military. Then he was a commander in chief of the Muslim army, then in Egypt. In Egypt, he was a military leader then. And everyone saw how brave he was. His fame quickly grew. So Salahuddin Ayyubi's fame quickly grew. And then he decided that, you know what, the Crusaders have come to Palestine because they're occupying it now. They had occupied it at that time, like Palestine is now. If you look, brothers, watch the news, you might have seen. Yeah, brothers and sisters in Palestine trying to free their land from the Israel occupation. You might have seen tanks driving around, breaking down houses and that. That occupation, that means an illegitimate government. The government that's not allowed to be there. He's forcing themselves on that land. This will happen in the time of Salahuddin al-Ayyubi as well, when the Crusades came from England and Europe. And for 100 years they were there. And they're causing trouble over there. Occupied Masjid al-Aqsa. And what did Salahuddin al-Ayyubi do? He didn't just one day get on a horse and try and fight by himself. For 11 years to 12 years. 11 to 12 years. He joined with the different armies seeking to try and unify Egypt, North Iraq, Palestine and Syria. He was unifying all these territories, all these lands together. Because he knows what? When the lands are together, they're stronger. And if the armies in these different regions come together to go to Palestine and help out, it's going to be much stronger. That is what? Because he was doing something political there, isn't it? He was getting armies together. He weren't doing all these days. And then, after a sustained amount of time, after years and years, fighting 2-3 times the Crusades, 2-3 times, Salahuddin al-Ayyubi, by the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, was given victory over the Crusades and took back that part of Palestine, the whole area. And took back Bayt al-Maqdis. A point to notice here, brothers. Why are we watching Salahuddin al-Ayyubi? All these centuries after, all these hundreds of years later. Why are we sitting here now, listening to someone telling us, liberate Palestine? Well, there's an important thing to understand. The unity of Muslims is very, very, very important. The unity of Muslims is very, very, very important. Now, we might ask ourselves, all right, we all got to be united. But, you know, how is it that we can all be united as Muslims? How is it? What is the practical way of getting all Muslims everywhere in the world united together? So, you, me, our brothers in Palestine, our brothers in Egypt, Muslims in Chechnya, Muslims in Afghanistan, Muslims in Iran. How is it that we all can come together? How is it that we can do that? What is the practical way? Brothers, this is what I really want to get to the point. How is it that we get all these different areas together? Now, some people say Muslims are never going to come together. Look at them. One wears a tufi. One don't wear a tufi. One wears a panjabi. One prays like that. One prays like that. One puts his hand here. One wiggles his finger. One goes like that. One believes in this thing. One follows that imam. He follows that madhab. How are we all going to come together? It's impossible. Muslims can't come together. Can't even get in the same room in the same area. How are they going to come together globally? How are they going to come together politically? The problem isn't all the things I've just mentioned. The problem isn't that our brother here is wearing, mashallah, a beautiful tufi, white one. The problem ain't that someone else isn't wearing one, he's wearing tracksuit bottoms. The other one, it ain't because someone's wearing a genji, he's wearing a vest, yeah, and he's wearing a shirt. Ain't that. It ain't because he prays a different way. It ain't because he follows a different mother. That's not the reason, brothers. People try and tell us that's the reason why. We're never going to get together. This is a cause of our disunity. This is why we're not together. Because of madhab. He, Bengalis follow this imam. This Arabs follow another imam. All this is allowed. This is the problem, brother. All of us in this room, we have the same aqidah. We have the same belief. Despite what people try and tell us, that our aqidah ain't right. We believe in Allah. We believe in the Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We believe in all the books that Allah sent down. We believe in a qada wa qadar, that Allah decides things, no one can change it. Allah wants something to be, He's decided that no one can change it. We believe in that we're going to be raised after, when we die, we're going to be raised up again. We believe in the angels. We believe in good and bad coming from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We're all sharing this. We have the same aqidah. This is what binds us. The real reason why, really, the real reason why that we're disunited and we're never going to be able to unify practically is because we don't have that thing that can unify us practically. Now, what is that thing? Brothers, I tell you, our scholar said this is one thing and one thing only, and it's called al-khilaf or al-imama. And I want to give you some quotes from our noble scholars, classical scholars, talking about what is the khilafah. Khilafah, brother talking about khilafah every day. Month Ramadan khilafah. Outside Ramadan khilafah. 24 hours khilafah. What is this khilafah? So I'm going to go and just explain to you how our scholars, who we follow, the scholars of the four madhhabs, who we follow, they showed us the deen for us to follow. They defined it. And then we'll go on to show how the scholar said not even Islam can come and be established without khilafah. So I just want to go through some quotes. I know we haven't got very much time left. Alright. You are there? What is khilafah? Some brothers don't like the word khilafah. They think you say it and makes them get angry. No. This is the term used by our scholars. This is the term from the hadith. How can we hate something that the Prophet used? It's got other names. Imama, al-imara, sulta, wilaya, imamatul uzma, imamatul kubra. But khilafah is what's the famous word, is known for this. And I'll define khilafah now as a classical scholar mentioned. Imam al-mawardi. Great Shafi'i scholar, he was a judge of judges. He was a highest level judge, basically. He wrote a book called Ahkam al-Sultaniyya, and he defines a khilafah in the following way. Al-Imam. Mawdu'atun bil khilafati al-Nabuwa. Fi hirasati al-Din wa siyasati al-Dunya bihi. Imam al-Mawardi says, the khilafah is related to the office, or the successorship of the Prophet, the Prophethood. So, after the Prophet, there ain't coming, ain't no half of a Prophet. That's kufr. But how is it that we succeed the Prophet? How do we follow the Prophet in his ruling? The khilafah of his nubuwwah. And he says, the imamah, the khilafah, hirasatu al-deen wa siyasatu al-dunya bihi. It is the protection for the religion and governing in the world through it. That's Imam al-Mawardi. Remember that name, Imam al-Mawardi. Rahimahullah. Another imam. He's number one, he's too big. Anyone heard of Imam Ghazali? Anyone heard of Imam Ghazali? Great scholar, one of the greatest scholars. Hujjat al-Islam, proof of Islam. He's Shaykh. Imam Ghazali, Shaykh. He's teacher. He's ustad. Imam Abu Ma'ali al-Juwaini. He says in Ghiyath al-Umam, he defines the Khilafah in the following way. Ghiyasatu tamimah. والزعامة تتعلق بالخص والعمة في مهمات الدين والدنيا. He says, it is the complete leadership and the political leadership related to matters of importance, general and specific within the religion. So everything in the religion, this is what the Khilafah is related to protect it. It is the political leadership. Imam al-Nasafi, he was a Hanafi scholar. And he wrote in his Aqaid al-Nasafiyya, anyone who studied in a madrasa, anyone who will study in a madrasa will have to read the Aqaid al-Nasafiyya. This is the Aqidah book, of a classical Aqidah book that we will have to learn if you study in a madrasa. Anyone who's going to study in a madrasa will have to do that. Imam al-Nasafi, he says, نِيَابَةٌ عَنْ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ فِي إِقَامَةِ الدِّينِ بِحَيْثُ يَجِبُ عَلَى كَافَةِ الْأُمَمِ. Ittiba'. He says what? It is the representative of the Prophet. Meaning, it is not Nabuwa. This is authority representing the Prophet that establishes the religion. يجب على كافة الأمم اتباع. It is obligatory on everyone, all peoples, to follow it, to adhere to it. Meaning we can't leave it. I'll give you one more quote. Imam Al-Iji, one of the other great Shafi'i Ash'ari scholars, he says in his book, brothers, these names might not mean anything to you, but wallahi, I tell you, when you start to learn the deen more, these names will crop up all the time. Because from these people we take our deen. These are the classical scholars we learn our religion from. He defines it, Imam Al-Iji defines it. هي خلافة الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم في إقامة الدين بحيث يجب اتباع على كافة الأمة. The خلافة of the messenger in establishing the religion which all the Muslims have to follow. So what do we understand for some of these quotes? What do we understand for some of these quotes? The خلافة is a farq. It is that which protects the religion. It is that which is going to have all the Muslims protected under it. This is why Ibn Hazm, another classical scholar from Spain, he says, اتفق جميع أهل السنة والجماعة. All Muslims, أهل السنة والجماعة. Then he says, even the Shia, and the Murji'a, some of the deviant people, even they agree, wujub al-imam, the obligatory nature of having a khilafah. وَإِنَّ الْأُمَّ وَاجِبَ عَلَيْهِ إِنْ قِيَادِ الْإِمَامِ الْعَادِلِ. And it's obligatory on all the Muslims to appoint, to have one khalifa, one just imam, governing their affairs. Why? وَيَقِيمُ فِيهِمْ أَحْكَامُ اللَّهِ. Because through the imam, all the ahkam of Allah will be established. وَيَسُوسُهُمْ بِأَحْكَامِ الشَّرَعِيَّةِ. And so the ahkam, shara'iyya, the Islamic law, can be applied. I ain't making this up. Ain't no brother making this up. This is from our classical scholars, people who we take our religion from. They're telling us that we have to have this khilafah. The only unity that we're going to have, the only way we're going to be protected as Muslims, the only way we're going to liberate situations like in Palestine, in Afghanistan, people in Palestine, Afghanistan, aren't being occupied because they follow a different madhab. But let's think about it a little bit. Is it because they pray in a different way, that's why they're being occupied? Let's think about it. Is it because someone wears a tufi this big, a hat this big, that's why they've been occupied, yeah? That's why Iraq is under occupation. Because some man using tasbih when he prays. Is that why, brother? Seriously? Or is it something else? Is it because there's no army there to help them? There's no authority there to protect them? So let's think about it a little bit. This is why I said earlier, this is a month of blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's also a month of tadabbur, of reflecting, of tafakkur, of thinking, brothers. What is it about this month? We need to think about long and hard. And I want to just quickly finish. I know we're very, 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 very short of time. 5 minutes, I want to quickly race through our noble scholars. Our scholars tell us that without the khilafah, without the political unity, meaning without one system that under one imam that's going to have the Muslim land unified, the way Salahuddin Ayyubi did it, like you watched in the video, the way he got all the armies together and joined the land, the reason why we have to have the khilafah is so all these things, you know, can happen, we can protect the religion. That's the whole point. Islam isn't safe without the khilafah, that's what I'm talking about. It's not safe. It can be threatened at any time. Our deen can be threatened at any time. Our culture can be threatened at any time. So if you want to protect our culture, our religion, our laws, our values, we can't do it unless there's an authority that can protect us. Have this in place. And I want to finish with one more quote. And it's by a great scholar, Sheikh Al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah. You may have heard Imam Sheikh Al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah. may have heard him before. If you haven't, brothers, look up that scholar. He said, and he summarized the point beautifully, and I just want to quote it in Arabic before we end. Beautiful quote, listen very, very carefully. Sheikh al-Islam said, يجب أن يعرف أن ولاية أمر الناس من أعظم الواجبات. He says that we all have to know that having this political authority, this Islamic authority, أعظم الواجبات الدين, is the highest obligation, is the greatest obligation in this religion. بل, he says, no, I don't stop there. بل, rather, لا قيام للدين إلا بها. The deen can't be established without it. لا قيام للدين إلا بها. The religion can't be complete and established without it. Then he says, he continues, لأن الله تعالى, because Allah أوجب أمر بالمعروف والنهي عن المنكر ولا تتم ذلك إلا بالقوة والإمارة. Allah has obliged us to forbid the wrong, to stop what's bad, to promote what's good. And we can't do that إلا بقوة وإمارة, except without authority and power. وكذلك سائر ما أوجبه الله تعالى. Such as, then he says, this goes for everything in the religion. Everything else Allah obligated us to do, and he lists them now, such as jihad, والعدل, وإقامة الحج, والجمع والأعياد والنصر المظلوم وإقامة الحدود لا تتم إلا بقوة والإمارة. Jihad, prayer, Hajj, Jum'ah, Nasr al-Mazloom, protecting the people who are oppressed. لا تتم إلا بالقوة والإمارة. Cannot be established except without this authority. Meaning, our deen can't even be complete. Our religion can't even be complete if we don't have that authority. That khilafah. Brothers, let's think about this. Just think about it for a second. Our religion itself can't even be complete without this. It can't even be complete without this. I'm not saying this. The man in the halal shop, he ain't telling us this. The man in the street ain't telling us this. Our scholars are telling us this. People who have devoted their life to study, knowledge, worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if we got to shape up, we got to take it seriously. This ain't a joke. That's why this month is a time for us to think about this issue, brothers. Think about what's going on. Salahuddin got victory in the month of Ramadan. Allah gave him the victory in the best of months. He gave him victory in the best of months. But he didn't do it by himself. That's the point. He didn't do it by himself. He had an army. He had an authority. He came with that power. Then he saved Palestine and the surrounding areas. And brothers, this is our only solution. Our problems isn't my madhabs. Wallahi, brothers, it's not my madhabs. Our disunity isn't because we're following different commands. Our disunity isn't because we're wearing different clothes. Our disunity isn't because we're eating different types of food. Some people eat salad sauce, some people eat samosa. Ain't that. It's because we don't have this power, this leadership, this unity politically. We don't have that authority under one imam who can liberate us. So just as a reminder, brothers, to myself as to you, let's use this month to think about it, to discuss these issues. Ain't a small thing. And our scholars are saying it is the a'azamul wajibat, the greatest of obligations. Our scholars are telling us this.
Okay, brothers. We're going to break our fast soon. I just want to know if the nozzle, the time is run. 40, yeah? Okay, we're going to be handing out the water and the dates, inshallah. If you stay where you are, it will make it easier for us to get to every single one of them. So, inshallah.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. Podcasts On Current Events, Islamic Guidance, Quran Tafsir, and Sira are available at islampodcasts.com, as well as on iTunes. Rate, review, and comment, and let us know how we can grow in our knowledge to better serve our community. Please subscribe, share, and tell a friend about islampodcasts.com.